look in your bulletin there and kind of review the thing that Caleb read to you this morning. And I'd like to talk to you just a little bit, some of the history of the Jewish people about this wedding kind of deal, because the scripture talked about he was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was with child, and he had in mind to divorce her. Now, that doesn't make much sense in our culture today, they were pledged to be married, and this is what the New Living Translation says, they were pledged to be married, and then it talks about a divorce. Well, in the Jewish culture, a wedding, this part of a wedding or a marriage involved three different aspects, and the first was the engagement, and a couple might be engaged as small children. Their parents would choose who their spouse would be when they were older, when they were old enough to be married, because they thought marriage was way too important to allow feelings or emotions to drive it. And they would choose a suitable spouse. Either the parents would choose that, or they would get a professional matchmaker. So this idea of ChristianMingle.com was not new. You know, a professional matchmaker would choose the spouse. Cheryl, how would you like to do that for your granddaughter? I mean, you could pick her somebody out, right? Just, yeah. We kind of do that now, don't we? They bring somebody home, we wrinkle our nose up. We don't like, I don't know. And then when they come home after a date, they go, you know, we do the 20 question kind of deal. My dad is he's real shy and subtle, and so the grandchildren, I don't know why they do this, but they do it. They bring somebody the grandchildren are dating, and now it's even down to the great grandchildren. They'll bring them and say, "Grandpa, this is my boyfriend." He'd take his hand, shake their hand, and said, "Howdy, you got a job?" "Grandpa, he's 14. I don't care. You got a job. You old enough to date my grandchild. You need to have a job. You got a job? Are you lazy? Won't you work?" And he just starts right in, right there, does the interview. He picks them out, you know. Anyway, that, much too important. So that was the engagement. After the engagement, there was the betrothal period. And that's what we read about here. It says, pledge to be married. The New King James reads this way. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as followed. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. It talks about this betrothal period. The betrothal period was the period of after the engagements, which the engagement was the period of time that even when the couple were little. And now they come to a time where they are able to make a decision on their own. Now, a guy didn't have any option. Who mom and dad picked or the professional matchmaker, that's it. But at this point in the betrothal, the girl has an option. She can say yes or no. If she says no before they're betrothed, then the whole process starts all over again with another guy. But if she says yes, they enter into a betrothal which lasts 1 year, which for all intents and purposes, they are each other's, period. They are married, but without all the privileges of marriage, if you understand what I'm talking about. The betrothal's it. It's over. Once you enter into the betrothal, that's it. And it lasts a year. It's kind of like dating, but no holding hands, kissing, or going any farther than that. And you enter into that for a year. At the end of a one-year period, then you're married. Then you do the marriage proper. And then you have all the privileges of a marriage. So that kind of makes this idea, when is this how the birth of Jesus Christ came about? His mother Mary was pledged to be married, but before they came together, she was found to be with child. And her husband, being a righteous man, determined that he would divorce her quietly or put her away quietly. That a divorce at that time, if you were divorced during a betrothal period, you actually could. Now, they didn't. It didn't very often happen. But you could. Mary could have been stoned to death if she had been found to be with child during the betrothal period. This is a serious deal. Now, Can you imagine Mary, who was thought to be somewhere between 12 and 15 years of age during this betrothal period? She was very young. 15, 16, some scholars say, not very many. Most of them say younger. Go to Joseph and say, Joe, here's something I need to tell you. I'm pregnant, but I haven't been with anybody. And evidently, he didn't buy that, because he had in mind to put her away quietly. He had in mind to divorce her. Then God stepped in, and he sent an angel. Here's something that I've discovered in my life, and I've discovered through Scripture. When God steps in, everything changes. Amen? When God steps in, everything changes. 20 years ago, maybe longer than that, 25 years ago, 24 years ago, Lou Ann told me that I was going to be a pastor someday. And I said, yeah, right, that ain't never going to happen. I don't know what in the world you're thinking, Lou Ann, but do you know how far away, you know how far away that is from where we're standing right now? You know, that's not going to happen. And she said, I just really think that that's what's going to happen, that you're going to be a pastor someday. Man, we haven't been saved but 5 years. Then how in the world am, you know, a pastor? And I went on a men's retreat 6 months, a year later. And on that men's retreat, I just felt that God was calling me to be a pastor in the ministry. I was just as sure as if he'd have given me a neon sign. And Lou Ann came and took part in this men's retreat for one evening. And when I saw her, I said, Lou Ann, I surrendered to the call of ministry this weekend. And she said, you did what? And I said, well, I surrendered to the call of ministry. Remember you told me 6 months, a year ago, that God was going to call me into the pastorate. And she was upset. And I said, well, why are you so upset? You told me. She said, listen, it's one thing when I tell you what I think that God's going to do to your life. It's another thing when you start doing it. You should have checked with me. I said, well, I'm checking. And she went, oh, you being a pastor, I can deal with. Me being a pastor's wife. Oh, because she said, I'll play the piano. I don't know. And God stepped in. And everything changed. The Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant. And they took the Ark of the Covenant into their own land, into the land of the Philistines. And they had captured the Ark of the Covenant. For the Israelites to have the Ark of the Covenant in their presence meant that they had the very presence of God with them, and their enemy had took it from them. Well, after God stepped in, and they discovered they didn't want the Ark of the Covenant because it was the power of God, they took it to a place in the field and let it go and let the Israelites know, hey, come and get this thing. And when they brought the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem, King David danced. He was so happy he danced. And he was wearing a little linen ephod, much like this jacket that I've got on. And he was spinning and twirling. And he didn't have on his BVDs. And his wife, Michal, said to him, you have shamed yourself in front of the maidens of this kingdom. Don't ever do that again. And he said to her, it was the Ark of the Covenant. It's back in our presence. I mean, the joy of that coming back to Jerusalem so overwhelmed him that he couldn't keep from dancing. And he told her, you think I shamed myself then? Wait till the next time that God shows up. And she was indignant. And God stepped in. And Michael was unable to bear children for the rest of her life because she forbid David to dance with the joy of the Lord. When God steps in, everything changes. Joseph had in mind to divorce his wife quietly so that she wouldn't be stoned, and God stepped in. Now the scripture reads that in a dream, an angel came to Joseph. And as I read that, I get this polite idea of Joseph's laying there, and violin sounds are coming, and a piano is playing quietly in the background. And an angel floats down in his dream, and he caresses Joseph's cheek. And he says, "Joseph, Mary's a virgin. And the Holy Spirit has made her with child. Don't be mad at her." And in his dream, he goes, "Okay." And violins are playing, and the piano's playing softly in the background, and there are clouds. And Joseph wakes up in the morning, and he says, runs over to Mary's house, "Mary, it's okay. I had a dream." And then I read the scripture. And it says this. Verse 20, "But after he had considered this," the divorce, "an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid.'" Whoa, he addressed his real problem. He was afraid. He was afraid what other people would say. He was afraid what it would look like. He said, "Joseph, don't be afraid. Take Mary as your wife because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he'll save his people from their sins." Look at verse 24. I like this. "When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had," what? "Commanded him." Does commanded sound like violins playing and piano softly in the background and clouds? I don't think commanded sounds like that. I think commanded sounds like, "Dude, look, this is my deal. I'm stepping in here. And when you wake up, you straighten up." Amen? Has God ever spoke to you that way? He has me. I mean, really, now speak to me like in an audible voice. Yeah, sometimes it sounds like Luann. Yeah, sometimes it sounds like Dave. Sometimes it sounds like Jason. Sometimes it sounds like Craig. Sometimes it sounds like John Dow. Sometimes it sounds like Andy. Sometimes sounds like Marty. Sometimes sounds like Katie. Sometimes sounds like Yufa. Many times it sounds like Eric. And God speaks to us. And we know that we're supposed to do some things. I like this idea. He stepped in and commanded. Jesus wasn't born of man. He was born of the Holy Spirit. If he were born of man, that would make Jesus a prophet. Or that would make Jesus would be ordained into ministry or sent from God. But because he was conceived of the Holy Spirit, that allowed Jesus to be God's own son. And it was a miracle. It was something that Joseph never could have understood. Unless God stepped in. There's nothing that Joseph could have ever done unless the Lord commanded him of that and gave him the courage. Remember, he said, "Don't be afraid." He gave him the courage to do that. When God steps in, everything changes because God has an eternal plan. See, we have a temporal plan. It ends sometimes that we can see what the outcome has. But God has an eternal plan. Let's look at what the scripture says in verse 22 and 23. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. All this took place to fulfill. God has an eternal plan. God being with us is of eternal nature. He being with us. God cares enough to send his son to walk this earth, to leave heaven, to come down and walk this earth so that we can know that he knows what it's like to live here on this earth. He went to heaven after he died for our sins, but he sent the Holy Spirit to live on in our lives. That idea of God with us has eternal value. It's of eternal value. And it just means anything. Or it means everything. How many of you heard President Obama's speech this past Sunday night? Would you raise your hand if you heard his speech this past Sunday night? Okay, not a lot of us heard his speech. Luann and I are, we like football. We mostly like college football, but if it's an oblong ball, we'll watch it. And Sunday night, we kind of do this date night thing. We leave the church in Antwerp, Fellowship Church, and we come back to town, and we go to Jersey's. And we eat like four or five different things that they have there. That's so we do the same thing every night. We download the day, what took place at Second, what took place at Fellowship. We talk about the people, the needs, everything. We just download the day. And while we're there, there are TV screens everywhere. Not very many people there. But Sunday night football's on. So we're just getting ready to watch the game. And they tell us that sometime in the first quarter, President Obama's going to come on and give a speech. And I thought, oh, gee whiz. You know, it's going to be this physical cliff thing. They don't have no answer for it anyway. And, we were just bumped. Wonder if they'll change the channel so we can watch something of value. That was my mindset. I just saw her go, well, hope it's not a long speech. He talked to the surviving families of the children that were killed in Connecticut, was it? That's what his speech was about. And it was incredibly moving. He talked about God with us. Jason put together a collage of just some excerpts of that speech. Barb, would you get the lights or Jason? Let's take a look at that. His message of God with us.
Scripture tells us, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. And with time and God's grace, that love will see you through. Let the little children come to me, Jesus said, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven.
I don't care whether you support the politics or some of the things that our government is doing right now. I'll tell you what, you got to be proud of that as a Christian. When I heard him speak last Sunday evening, I thought, well, I can't imagine what it would be like to be a parent or a grandparent of one of those children. But I was so proud that the leader of our nation, no doubt the most powerful man in the world, would give words of comfort like that. God with us. The God that's making a difference because he steps in. Hasn't left us, but when he went to heaven, he sent his Holy Spirit so that we could have comfort and peace, so that we could have direction, so that we could have someone command us to do the right things in our lives. About Wednesday or Thursday, I was just messing around at the house in the morning. I'd gotten home from the Disciple House Bible study, and I was getting some stuff ready to come in for the day, and I had CNN news turned on or something like that. And I read about Richard Engel, the chief correspondent of NBC News, and his production crew being taken prisoner by the Syrian soldiers in the civil war country of Syria this past week. And while being moved from one area to another, they're being held captive because they wanted to trade their lives for some Syrian soldiers and some Afghani soldiers. They wanted to make a trade with them. And they came on a Syrian civil soldier's checkpoint. And a battle ensued. And Richard and his crew were set free. They told about, in this interview that we're going to watch in just a moment, they were told right before this section that we're going to look at that they were subjected to many firing squad type things, where they told them that they were going to kill them, and they would line them up, get them, make them think that this was it, and they even tried to force them to choose who would be shot first. They would talk among themselves who would be shot first. And they were just getting out of the car, getting ready to go into some place to be debriefed. And of course, there's newsmen all over the place. And they stopped them and they interviewed Richard Engel. And he told the story like a journalist would. And they interviewed one of the guys of the film crew. And he told about the horror. And then they interviewed this other guy that we're going to see in a moment. And I want you to look at him. He's like the most unlikely of the three. He looks like a 58-year-old hippie. And what he said about God being with us was pretty neat. And catch the end of it, how Richard Engel has cut him off. And Jason and I had to hunt all over the place to even find this, because they interviewed Richard Engel over and over and over again. They showed pictures of these guys over and over and over again. But they left this part out. Barb?
I met with my maker. I made good with my maker. I made good with myself. I was prepared to die many times. And
moving was the hardest part.
Did you catch it? Can you do it again, Barb?
I met with my maker. I made good with my maker. I made good with myself. I was prepared to die many times. And
moving was the hardest part.
What he said is, I made good with my maker. I made good with myself. And I was prepared to die many times. And Richard Engel changed the subject. Moving was the hardest part. When he moved us from one area to the other. Not for that guy. It wasn't the hardest part. The hardest part for him was everything that came up to making peace with his maker. And then from everything from there on out was God with us. And God stepped in, and everything changed. Just happened that they drove upon a checkpoint. Just happened that there was a firefight. It just happened that they were set free. God stepped in. That's the value of God with us. His Holy Spirit living in us is sufficient. Both to when President Obama told the people there that you can find comfort in God. You can find comfort in the promises of a heaven. And when the news correspondent, when part of his film crew said, I made peace with God and I made peace with myself. And then from then on, I was prepared. And from when David danced, and even though his wife said, you can't ever do that again, God stepped in and everything was different. And not only she knew she was wrong, but boy, so did everybody else. And then when Luann told me that I was going to go into the ministry and God reaffirmed what she said, and even when I reported that back to her and she said, oh no, you can go, but this is different. God stepped in to when Joseph had in mind to divorce her quietly, and God stepped in. The Holy Spirit living in us is enough. We don't need to add anything else, but we got this idea in our head that we do. That even though that we have the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we always think about, well, I know I have the Holy Spirit, but if I just had the Holy Spirit and money, then everything will be fine because my real problem is money. Or we say, if I had the Holy Spirit and some power or some control, if I had control, that I know I have the Holy Spirit, that's good, but I need, just if I had control. Or I see this today. If I had the Holy Spirit and that hot guy that's walking out of the church right now, I mean, he just, there he goes. I mean, well, I see that all the time. Young, especially young girls. If I just had that hot guy, you know I got the Holy Spirit, but if I just had that guy, then it'd be enough. Well, I think of those war correspondents. I mean, put yourself in their position. They have the Holy Spirit, and they had money. Would that make the difference? No, I don't think so. If they had the Holy Spirit and had money, those guys would have just took their money. If I just had the Holy Spirit and had control, they already took their control. Amen? They didn't have nothing. Or how about this? If I had the Holy Spirit and that hot chick, what good would that have done? We think that we need the Holy Spirit and. But the Holy Spirit is enough. The Holy Spirit can make everything else, all the ands, more effective and better. But we don't need those in order to live our lives in the way that God called us to live our lives. Now, before you're thinking, the pastor just told me I didn't need my wife. I didn't need that hot chick. I don't need money, or I don't need control. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that with God, with the Holy Spirit in our lives, He is sufficient for all things. Took care of Kevin in Afghanistan. And Mary was talking to him, I'm going to promise you. Right, Mary? Take care of him. And it was sufficient. God with us. God with us. God wants to be with us. Are you willing to be with Him? Do you have the idea that Him being with us is sufficient? It that's enough until the right time comes. And then he'll add those other things. Or maybe he's already added them, but his Spirit is sufficient to make them into the kind of relationship, the kind of management of our money, the kind of having control and having it in the right way. He is sufficient to deal with all of those. And then when tragedy comes along, he's once again sufficient. God loves us so much that he sent his Son so that we could have salvation. And this time of the year, we think of Jesus as a baby in the manger, but it's really easy to forget that he came here to die for our sins. You remember the story when he was gathered in the upper room with the disciples, and he took the bread and he broke it and he passed it among them, and he said this to them, "This is my body that's broken for you." And he took the cup and he passed it among them, and he said, "Take and drink. This is my blood, a new covenant that I make with you." God with us. So that we would have the presence of God to help us through any trouble, any trial, any circumstance that comes our way.